Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Wearing a Men's Warehouse outfit makes you confident, like you could do anything, so you dance like no one is watching, even though everyone is watching. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you interview like the job is already yours because it is. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you golf as if the rules don't apply to you because you're too well-dressed for rules. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit. At Men's Warehouse, get measured, get fitted, get hot, get confident in everything from tailored suits to underwear and all the stuff in between. Love the way you look at Men's Warehouse.
The DFS Studio is brought to you by DraftKings. Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast with your hosts, Kyle Borgannoni and Matthew Betts.
Welcome in. October 20th, we're back. Fantasy Footballers, DFS, and Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Borgannoni. And I'm joined, as always, by Matthew. You gotta be feeling pretty good about yourself, Betts.
I'm feeling great, dude. The vibes are high right now, currently. We got Thursday Night Football in the rearview mirror. We've got a weekend full of Phillies baseball ahead. We've got a gross, disgusting main slate to talk about, and dude, I'm not gonna lie, the slates where you just feel so uncomfortable, there's less games, there's injuries, teams are on bye, I absolutely love these slates, so I'm excited to break it down. I think this is where our biggest edge is in DFS.
Yeah, I wanted to save my thoughts. Betts and I usually, we riff before, we riff after, it's it's part of the gig.
We're just riffing.
But sometimes I want to cut myself off because I want to give those fresh, raw thoughts on the podcast to the people, because on this slate, I'm tempted to break some of my rules and play more GPP. Like, you and I, our bread and butter is cash, and then we'd say if we win in tournaments, yahoo, but we know we would say we have an edge over the course of the season. I think our listeners do too. And I think there are some smart cash plays, some ones to stay away from, but man, with so few games on this slate, just 10 in general, and then also just only a couple that really hit the marks we want. Like, there's only two that we would say, like, wow, these are really pace up. And then the rest are like, okay, you can find some correlation. You can find some other things. So any early initial thoughts? I know usually we go to our cash picks. We talk about the games we want to stack. But just overarching your thoughts on this slate.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little on Tuesday of just saying, like, you know, in general, this profile is a pretty low scoring slate. You know, at the time, we were pretty excited about KC and the Chargers game. And I think if you're going to pick one that has the most, best chance to shoot out, it's probably still that one. But the total has dropped a lot since we talked on Tuesday. Last I saw was 48 points. So you're looking at a slate where that's the best game environment. And there's a ton, like, in the low 40s and 30s, high 30 range. So I just think in general, this is not a week where I'm super excited to go full game stacks with, you know, quarterback, double stack, and a bring back on the other side. I think this is going to be one of those kind of old school DFS slates where you just kind of play the plays that make sense to you, find some leverage on the field, and go from there. So I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's going to be a really interesting slate, but I'm with you. I think this is an interesting week for tournaments, kind of given the context of the slate.
There's never, never a better time than right now to get in the DFS pass, because once again, our company decided to slash prices. And Jason actually did the math and he said, hey, we're now letting people get the DFS pass because we've done, a third of the season's gone. Let's give 33% off. But then Jason started giving the math. It's like, wait, the DFS pass goes all through the playoffs. So this is actually a losing proposition. We're going to be in the red. And it seems like the company's just going to go under because of this. I mean, this is not good business practices. And I'm going to talk to HR about this.
Yeah, for every new DFS pass purchase with this new discount, the likelihood that Kyle and I get fired goes up.
Yep.
So it's not great business, but hey, here we are.
Yeah, some people are like, that's sweet. I want your job, so go for it. But yes, dfspass.com, 33% off because we said, hey, why would you pay for the first couple weeks if you didn't get in on it? So if you want to get in, go to dfspass.com. You can get all of our picks for DraftKings, FanDuel, the Optimizer, which I am looking at right now. When Betts and I go through each game, we look through these roster percentages. We look at GPP values. We look and see like, hey, this is what this player needs to do in your lineup. Often we talk about multipliers like, it used to be, maybe it's different these days, but it used to be if a player could 2.5x on their salary, we'd be like, sweet, that's awesome. I feel like we're in the days now where it's like, I want a 3x. Like that's kind of what I'm hoping for. So you can get all of those in our optimizer, all of our expert articles, everything you want in the DFS pass. So take that free discount and our stupidity and let's do that. But we got some cash picks.
Straight cash, homie.
There's not one quarterback this week that I feel like the field is just going to fall in love with. In fact, like the expensive guys on this slate, I think are not going to be as rostered as we think because people see that there's value in paying down at quarterback, getting 20-something points, and then being able to jam in a couple of studs at wide receiver and running back. So I just want to say that the roster percentages that I'm seeing from our site are more flat than I realized. So I thought I'd come into this week and just say Mahomes is a slam dunk at 8.3, but he's cost prohibitive. And I mentioned before, like he hasn't tore it up against the Chargers DK points wise. So at 8.3, how many points do you need from Mahomes? I know it's a smaller slate, so we have to adjust for context, but how many points would you feel happy with at 8.3?
I think it's a difficult question to answer, like you said, because of slate context. Like, and I usually kind of think about these guys at the top in terms of comparing them to the other guys priced around them, right? So like Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson are kind of the top of the pricing this week. And it's like, man, if Mahomes comes out and gives you 20 at 8,300, that might be totally fine for cash games. In fact, it probably is, right? He's averaging just over 21 points a game on DK this year. Chargers are allowing 7.7 yards per attempt. They've been terrible in on defense against quarterbacks. So like the spot is pretty clean at home in this game. They've got the highest team total. But like I said, if he gives you 20 and like you play Geno, who we'll talk about in a second, he gives you like 18, like Geno's a better play, right? So like I just don't know how I feel about Mahomes. If anyone wants to pay up for safety, I think it's totally viable. I think we have some value plays that are going to open up that you can do it. But right now, as of our recording, it's not the way that I prefer to build. I think I'm likely to drop down into this Geno range, like I said, just given that the Chiefs, yes, they've been successful. Yes, they're moving the ball. But like their defense, we need to stop saying they're good. They're great. They're one of the best defenses in the NFL. And it hasn't forced Mahomes to be Superman Mahomes. So like I said, if he gives you 20, it's like, okay, great. But is he going to give us 30, 35 points? Like those huge upside games that we've seen, it seems unlikely to me.
Yeah, his projection's around 22. I like you to use an aggregate. So 22, 23 seems about right for a projection. I think you'd be happy with that. But yeah, Geno Smith and Mahomes are the two quarterbacks I'm looking at right now. I think Geno's the hardest part is like, do you want to play Ken Walker? And would you? I personally would not feel comfortable playing both of those in cash.
Yeah, that's a tough decision on the slate, I think, for cash games. I'm going to play one of those two, I think, certainly. Like, if I don't play Geno, I'm going to play Cam Walker. I even think I'm toying around with lineups where you do play both. That's tricky. The thing is, though, is that, like, on a slate that's this small, if several teams fail, you only have a few teams that actually are putting up decent fantasy points. And, man, the Seattle, they're right behind Kansas City in their team implied total. It's such a clean spot at home against the Cardinals. I mean, you look at any metric you want, the Cardinals are bottom five in every single one on defense, including fantasy points allowed to both quarterbacks and running backs and wide receivers. So, like, is it possible that he gets there and Kem Walker gets there? I think it's likely. I think it's possible. I think certainly Tyler Lockett can get there in the same matchup. So, like, Seahawks are going to flood optimal lineups, are going to flood your kind of, most optimal plays. Just be thoughtful of how you're doing it. I think I would max two Seahawks in my cash lineup.
Yeah, that makes sense. We'll talk about that game from a stacking perspective in a second. Can we bring up Russell Wilson? Can I at least say his name?
Look, man, I'm toying around with it. I think he might be cash viable. And I'm scared to say those words out loud, Kyle. I really am. I'm terrified because it's not the cleanest spot on paper. When you just look at like yards per pass attempt allowed, fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, those sort of things, you factor in, you know, Green Bay coming out of their bye week. But man, Russ has just gotten it done, right? Like, and at 5,400, if he does come out and give you 15, 16 points, and I keep saying this, you know, example, but like if Mahomes gives you 20, that's totally fine, right? So like, I don't know where I'm at. We're going to talk about that game environment. Where are you at right now with Russ?
I just don't know if I could do it for cash, just for like, I want to be able to talk to like my family afterwards and just
sure.
say, but
yeah, you want to sleep at night.
Yeah. But I did like point it out early in the week and I was like, dude, I kind of like Russ this week. And the more you and I looked into it, we're like, we need to bring him up and then we need to bring up that game. So for me now, I don't think I'll go there in cash. I think Geno or Mahomes just feels like a safer floor, better team implied totals. Just, I'd rather rest there in cash. Now, in tournaments, you can tell me anything you want, and I'll be down with it. So I think he's fine there.
Where would you rank them price consider? Because I think those are probably like top three, you would say, plays right now for cash.
Top three or four.
Where would you rank them?
I think when I consider price, Geno might be my one. And then it's a toss-up. I think I'd probably go Geno, Mahomes, Russ. And then you could do Justin Herbert if you want to, because I love Justin Herbert, but that's probably going to be my 1-2-3. I do want to mention Lamar on FanDuel because he's 8K and he is way cheaper than Mahomes. The game is not great. They're at home against Detroit. So we might be talking about Lamar a little bit later. If you're interested. So Lamar's fine on FanDuel, but I think Mahomes and Geno are two of our top guys this week. At running back, what do you think about Ken Walker at 7K? Do you think, I think him and Josh Jacobs might be two of the most popular running backs on the slate.
For sure. And when you consider that there's not a lot of like true workhorse backs on the slate, like, right, there's no CMC. Eckler's in a good spot, but he's so expensive. You know, it's like, I think one of these two guys should be in your cash lineup. I think it's viable. I was looking at a team that you can play both of them. But, I mean, they're both just awesome, awesome plays. With Kem Walker, I think that's my preferred play. If you're making me pick one, just you save $400. They're at home. They're favored by over a touchdown against the Cardinals, who are just bleeding fantasy points. Two running backs, you saw Kyren Williams just run all over them last week. He's handled 90% of the running back carries this year. It's just an elite mark, right? And the concern for me was like, okay, they come out of their bye week. Do we finally see Zach Charbonnet get a little more usage? No, sir. It was the exact opposite. Right. Kem Walker saw a season high 76% of the snaps, 22 opportunities last week. So in this spot at home, favored by a touchdown against the Cardinals, he makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, I love looking at Jacobs in my lineup because he should be 8K based on his role. You know, he's leading the league in opportunities. So you can't argue against someone that's seeing 20 to 23. And if it's O'Connell, if it's Brian Hoyer, we don't know as of this recording, whoever it is, Jacobs is going to be fed and they're favorites on the road against Chicago. So both those guys feel super safe this week. Isaiah Pacheco feels very safe as well at 6.1. Like I can't really poke holes in his game. The game environment, it's great. So we'll talk about that game too. So Jacobs, Walker, Pacheco are like the top of the, you know, like if you're paying above 6K, I think the real conversation comes down to, are you toying around with these 4K running backs, the Zach Evans at the Stoneman or Roschon Johnson at 4.6? So as of this recording, I mean, tell us the future bets.
Man, I wish I could. I think that's the key to the slate, because if you knew for sure Zach Evans was the dude, you would just plug him in at 4K and take your 8 or 10 points and move on. But I have real concerns that this team, you know, we talk about all the time with running backs. It's like, do they actually want this guy to get the ball? And I don't think they do. I mean, you hear Sean McVay talk in his press conference right out of his mouth. It was immediate. Like, someone's asked if Zach Evans was going to be the lead back, and he said, I wouldn't say that. And then he went on to say, like, we're still working through it, thinking about our opportunities, whatever. Like, to me, the running back that gets the nod here, as far as the quote-unquote lead back, is going to be who they trust in pass protection. I think Stafford is going to be just absolutely chucking in this game against the Steelers. So I don't think you have to go there. Like, we've got Wandale, he's 3.8. If Roschon Johnson plays at 4.6, like, play him over Zach Evans. Like, I just don't think you absolutely have to go there on the slate. If someone wants to build that way because he's so cheap, I totally understand it. But there's enough value to me. You can punt tight end. We'll talk about some options. Like, I don't think you have to have it. So my lean right now is to not play Zach Evans, just kind of given the information we have. But stay plugged in to the DFS Pass, to Discord, to if you're on there. Just get ready to follow the news, because right now we don't know. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Right. And it's okay to not have a take or to not have a perfectly formed opinion yet, because they don't even know what they're doing. Like, there was Zach Evans being, you know, he was interviewed today as of this recording, and he said, I don't even know what the plan is. So it's like, don't think that you have a perfect read on this. My lean, my personal lean, is just to say, you know what, there's enough value, I can go elsewhere. And yeah, like, if he's a 4K running back, he gets in the end zone, then he's awesome for the week. It can work. Anybody can work like this. But I love the passing game with the Rams this week. So Puka, Cup, I'll probably have one of those two in my cash lineup, and that's just where I'll go. So quickly want to mention on FanDuel, Josh Jacobs is 8K there. That's an elite play. So in FanDuel, I give our order of our running backs and our best plays, and Josh Jacobs, I can guarantee you right now, will be close to the top. And then Zach Evans is only 4.8 there. So on FanDuel, that's very cheap considering the salary. So keep that in mind.
Before you, let's go to wide receiver. Kyle, I want to just ask you one question about the Bears running backs. So as of our recording, the information we have is that Roschon Johnson is still in concussion protocol. He missed last week. The previous game where he got the concussion was a Thursday night game. So, like, it's right. been a while. So my optimism for him clearing in this spot is starting to dwindle. So if Roschon Johnson is out, are you going back to Dont'a Foreman? He is 4.8K.
Gosh. He'd be in the
Sounds
pool.
Like you have a lot of confidence.
I have some bias with Foreman because he's destroyed my Falcons a couple times. So that's, like, always ringing in the back of my mind. Is like, this dude, they gave him so much work last year in Carolina, and he just ran over us. So he's definitely in the pool of players. I'll have to see where it shakes out. Like, there's enough wide receiver value this week where in my flex spot, I'm just not finding running backs there. Like, I'm playing four wide receivers. So I would say he'd end up probably right outside my top five, and a player that's like, hey, if I'm going to play Josh Jacobs, I'm not going to play a running back in the same game that doesn't catch passes from Bilbo Baggins. So, no thank you.
Fair.
Wide receiver, I mentioned Cup. I mentioned Puka. I just want to say this about Puka. He's still good. You might say, oh, Puka, that dude, that was so last month in DFS. We are in week 7. He still saw 33% of the targets last week. And the Steelers ranked dead last in schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. So, he's good. He's still involved. He dropped a touchdown. It was a tough play, but and Stafford threw a laser. I mean, if you've seen the highlight, it's awesome. But do you have a lean right now based on builds between Cup and Puka? Because I'm assuming you're in the same spot as me. I want one of them.
Yeah, the matchup's great. And, you know, kind of said, like, my feel on this is that this running back, this could be wrong, but, like, I just don't think it matters, right? Like, we could spend all week trying to figure out, is it Royce Freeman? Is it Zach Evans? Well, they brought in, you know, Daryl Henderson. Like, Matthew Stafford is going to chuck it. He's going to drop back. What would you say? Where would you put his attempts line at? Like 37 and a half, something like that?
Yeah, I was thinking 35.
I think he's going to be throwing all over the place. So I'm with you. I want one of these two guys. The build that I was looking at, you could get up to Cup in this spot. You need a punt tight end. You need a punt wide receiver, which would be Wandale. But you can do it. So they're both great. I think I lean Cup if I have the money, obviously. But we're going to talk about Puka later on in today's show. And I think it's a good spot for both them. And, you know, last week with the Kyren thing, like, they came out in the second half and Arizona just couldn't stop it, right? They just kept running it over and over and over again. I don't know that that's going to be the plan this week. So I'm big into both guys.
I love the wide receivers this week in the mid-range. So Tyler Lockett at 6K. I think you and I are, you know, lockstep together. We're in Hollywood Brown at 5.3. I know people are going to look at it and they're going to go, hey, last week didn't work out. I played him. You're such a jerk. Why did you put him in the top place? The process says you play a wide receiver who's ninth in targets. He's been targeted on 26% of his routes. That's 10th among wide receivers. It's basically Keenan Allen level. And Seattle's not good against wide receivers. So I will, I'm pretty sure Hollywood Brown's going to end up in my lineup.
Yep, I'm with you. I think he's in there with the reasons you said, and I'm ready to get hurt again. So let's do it.
Why not? So between, and then Wandale, we've mentioned before, but it's like the role is so strong. And he's been targeted on almost 26% of his routes. Like he's on the field. He's getting targets in a PPR format. It's like, I don't know, where would you put his line? I haven't looked at anything yet, but like I'd put it at 4.5 receptions and I'd take the over. I think 5.5 is maybe too much.
Yeah, that's where it was last week, and it was like 26.5 yards, and he went over both. And he's been getting, like you said, the usage. I think there is zero ceiling at all. So I question, you know, is he a good tournament play? But like, if he gives you, you know, 10 points at 3.8, like you're super happy, right? That's totally fine. And Washington, the matchup is awesome, has allowed the most yards and touchdowns to wide receivers this year.
Amon-Ra is totally fine at 8K. Like, I'll talk a little bit about, but I don't mind that game. We're not going to preview it, but Baltimore and Detroit, if you wanted to stack it up, Amon-Ra is just going to project super well in terms of targets. He set career highs in receptions and yards last week, so you can go there at 8K. Zay Flowers in the same game is also a solid play on FanDuel. I like him even more at 6.3, so that's solid. This one feels weird because I never think of this guy as a cash play, ever. But Christian Watson is really cheap on both sites, and on FanDuel, where touchdowns matter more, he's 6.6 against the worst defense probably ever through 6 weeks. So Christian Watson is just a name I want to mention. Probably won't be playing him in cash, but I can see the route where he is a player that gets a ton of usage this week coming off a bye. So anybody else at wide receiver?
I'll also throw out Joshua Palmer. It's not the biggest upside play in the world, but when you're talking about getting access to, we mentioned the totals dropping, but like getting access to the best game environment on the slate is a way to do it. He's 4.8. He is cheap enough that he can pay off this tag, given that he has in the last two games. Without Mike Williams, he has seen 8 and 7 targets. And last week, Quentin Johnson was just not a thing. He was ahead of him by far, 70 snaps to 34, Palmer to Quentin Johnson, 42 to 21 in routes, and Quentin Johnson saw 2 targets. So it's Josh Palmer, and they have to throw against Mahomes. So I think he's fine.
At tight end, I think a lot of people will play Michael Mayer. They'll look at last week. And I can't fault them for it. I do think it's a thinner play than you realize because his quarterback will either be Aiden O'Connell or Brian Hoyer. So it's not like perfect, but at 2.7, who cares?
What's wrong with Aiden O'Connell?
He's not good. He was so bad in that game. Like, right? Like he scored that 1 yard bunny touchdown and that was it, right?
That saved us.
I was like, all right, we're getting a rushing touchdown. Yeah, he was not good. Luke Musgrave, another player, totally fine at 3.3. The matchup's good against Denver. So Packers won't show up a ton in what we just talked about, but you can play Christian Watson, Luke Musgrave. Their prices are totally fine in cash. I've even seen people throw around Jordan Love in cash, 5,800. I don't love it, but he's actually had a pretty high floor considering how volatile a player he is. Are you paying up for Travis Kelce this week at 8K?
I was going to ask you the same thing. Because I want to, but you know, at 8K, it's like, is he a priority? And I'm not sure he is. If you want to play Kupp, if you want to play, you know, or Puka or Amon-Ra, like one of those guys, and also jam in both Kem Walker and Josh Jacobs, then it becomes cost prohibitive. So just think about kind of how you prioritize those players. But, you know, they've got the highest team implied total. They're at home. He's seen 8+ targets in every single game he has played, and that includes games where he was limited coming off the knee, when he tweaked the ankle. Like, he is the offense in the passing game, right? And we always try to figure out, is it Rashee Rice? Is it Kadarius Toney? Is it whoever else? It's always Travis Kelce, right? So, like, if you want to pay up for him, I think it's totally fine.
I think the hardest part about this slate is, before we've kind of just ignored tight ends. Like, last week, you could just almost ignore it completely. Didn't really matter. You can't do that this week. Like, Kelce and Andrews are both projecting really well. I think they'll be in the top 3 to 5 in terms of roster percentages. So it's not like, oh, well, this is a bad game and we don't really want to play them. Like, people are going to be playing Kelce a ton in tournaments. I like Andrews, like at 5.7. It's like one of those things where I don't mind him in cash either. So you can't ignore the position. And I wonder if people are so used to punting the position off that they bring that in tournaments. And then, you know, Kelce's put up some insane games against the Chargers. Like, he's put up a 3-touchdown game, 2-touchdown game, 160-yard game. So I just worry that people are just going to lock in Musgrave or Mayer and be like, oh, sweet, I've got tight end figured out. It's like, no, these guys have huge ceilings. So my preferred strategy right now is it's fine punting in cash, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be paying up in tournaments. Like, I want access to a ceiling on a slate that feels like doo-doo. So, yeah, any last thoughts on tight end?
No, I think you put that well in just terms of thinking about, like, cash is very different where we're just trying to get a few points and get out of there. Whereas in tournaments, because you have these guys, Kelce, Andrews, that really can break the slate, if everyone is playing a cheap tight end, then it becomes easy to separate if you can get that build to work. So I think that's an interesting take that I definitely agree with for tournaments.
And can I just mention Kyle Pitts, 4K on DraftKings, 5.6 on FanDuel. He's coming alive. And I just want to say it. Did you know, according to Marvin Eloquin's article on our site, he's second among all tight ends and expected fantasy points?
I believe it, because the first couple weeks he was just having the ball sail over his head down the field.
It's looking a lot better. At defense this week, there's a couple different options that I'm fine with. The Giants at 3K against Sam Howell. If you want to do that, do it. They're 3.4 on FanDuel. I think they're an elite play on FanDuel. But the Ravens at 2.5 and the Chiefs at 2.4 are punt options that are actually really good high ceiling options too. So it's like rare to get both those combinations of teams at home that are favored and yet they're cheap. Like, that doesn't usually happen. So is that where you're at too?
Yeah, I'm with you that I think I want to play one of those cheap defenses. I mean, Sam Howell is just taking sacks over and over, and the Giants are blitzing at the fourth highest rate. That sounds like a recipe for disaster for the sacks taken. And then the tricky thing with the Ravens is, like, they've been very good on defense, but I mean, on offense, the Lions have been a juggernaut and their offensive line is awesome. So if I'm picking one of these super cheap defenses, for me, it's Kansas City. Extra time to prepare. They've got a big time rest advantage with the Chargers playing on Monday night. And their defense has just been good, man. 7th in yards per play, 3rd in points per play, 6th in EPA on defense. So I think the Chiefs are way too underpriced.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll talk about stacking. All right, Betts and I are going to highlight 3 games that we like this week. We'll talk about the lines, you know, how you could stack these things up, give our Vegas take. So let's get into it.
Stack Attack.
Game of the week, on the main slate at least, is the Los Angeles Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs. Unfortunately, the total has fallen from 50.5 to, am I seeing this correct, 48 right now?
Yep, that's what I see as well.
That's depressing. Like,
I don't like that.
This is supposed to be the game. Now, I did look it up. These two teams in the 3 years with Justin Herbert as quarterback, so we have 3 years sample size, they've averaged 54 points. So is it at the point now, I'm giving an early take, where it's like, why would you not take the over now?
Is that your lock of the week?
I mean, I'd rather it be like at, you know, 47.5 and then take the over. I hate it on the, you know, 48, but I lean the over.
I hope you're right for DFS purposes. I always just get worried when money comes in heavily on the under, which it has come in heavily on the under since our, you know, Monday night lines that we had for our Tuesday show. So that gives me some pause on this game. And I already kind of mentioned, like, the Chiefs defense has been great. They have not been good. They have been great. And Andy Reid, with extra time to prepare coming off that Thursday night game, he is just crushed in those scenarios. So the Chiefs will be prepared to play in this game. I think there's a decent chance the Chargers underwhelm in this spot. I'm actually kind of worried about it, truthfully. So even though everything on paper, from the pace to the pass rate, so all those things line up as good plays, it's such tricky because the money's coming out on the under, the Chiefs defense is great, and the Chargers are just overpriced, right? Like Herbert for $8K, that's a really tough sell. Eckler for $8,600, that it's a lot, man. Like, I don't know. Keenan, right? $8,600. Obviously, he's been incredible, but like, I'd play Diggs. I'd play Puka at a cheaper price. I'd find $900 to get up to Cooper Kupp. So like, I'm just having trouble on the Chargers side because Josh Palmer is going to be chalk and I don't want to play it.
When did you become such a hater on the Chargers? How dare you turn on this team?
They let me down, Kyle, on Showdown.
That's what they do. That is what they do, okay? Let me at least give you some stats to think about, mull on about this pace of this game, because I gave it a 4.5, which is pretty dang good. The total came down, so I think I'd probably put it now at like, you know, at least bump it down 0.25, something like that. But it's the best on the slate, so deal with it, people. I feel like I'm like talking to my kids, like, this is what we have to eat tonight. You just got to work with it, okay? And
dude, you're single dad this week.
I am, so
that's probably actually what you're going to say to your kids tonight.
I did. I had a conversation with my wife before she went out of town to visit her mother to basically, hey, so what do we have to eat? Like, what are we working with?
Can I have $20 for pizza?
So, yeah, single dad and for a couple days. No big deal. These teams, though, both rank top five in pass rate over expectation. They both average over 365 yards per game, which is top eight. And if you look at these games over the last 3 years since Justin Herbert's quarterback, they've averaged 141 combined plays and 54 points per game. So all of that tells me those are really good metrics. But is this one of those things where we just, if we adjust for 2023, we realize this is just a crapshoot everywhere? That's like that's my new stat for this year, is just adjust for 2023.
Yeah, and like you said, context matters. If this was a different slate where we had some high totals to get excited about, this game would not look quite as great. The metrics are there. This is the highest total on the slate by, I think, 3 points, if I'm not mistaken, at least, in terms of the Vegas total on it. So I, even though I said I was concerned, like, I'm going to have exposure to this game for obvious reasons. And, you know, Kellen Moore on the other side with the Chargers, like, knows you have to throw against Mahomes. If there's anyone that knows that, it's him, and they already throw at one of the highest rates in football over the last month, 67% neutral pass rate. That's what we want, right? So, like, I mentioned my concerns, but I totally get why you would stack this game.
So for me, it would be, if you're doing the Chargers side, a Justin Herbert double stack with your boy Keenan Allen, maybe throw in like a Gerald Everett, Josh Palmer, whoever, but get two of those. And then the other side, you can play Kelsey by himself, or you can play Isaiah Pacheco, but I'm not messing around with another wide receiver unless I'm stacking with Mahomes. That's just my preferred way to do it. But like, you could tell me any of those wide receivers end up with 15 points, and I believe you, but I don't know who it is.
Yeah, that's the same conversation every week. It's like, well, I guess not every week, because we have Justin Watson out, which you laugh, but he's playing 45% of the snaps.
I love Justin Watson.
He's great, man. He's great. Superstar. He's running 50% of the routes, which, again, you laugh, but is one of the highest marks on this team. So he's not really vacating a huge target share because he doesn't earn them, but there is opportunity for someone to step up here. Who is it going to be? Who the heck knows, man? I would like to bet on Rashee Rice. The tricky thing is he's not free. He's 4,700, and that's kind of a decision point.
That's expensive. It's like,
yeah, for his role that we've seen, that's expensive. Now, you could say, look, we typically see these rookies come out of a little bit of extra rest, time to prepare, whatever. And he's been good, man. Like 2.75 yards per out run. He's third in the NFL in targets per out run. Not just like rookie, like in the NFL, he is getting targeted at such a high rate. So like, can you tell yourself a story where he sets the season high in snaps and routes this week? Certainly. Is it going to project well? No. So you sort of have to like fudge the numbers to make it work, if that makes sense. So I think he's interesting. For me, I think he's a better small field play than large field, because I don't think he's going to give you this massive 25 plus point performance that you need to win these, like, you know, millimakers and stuff. But in the stuff I play, if he comes out for 4 or 5 catches, 50 yards and a score, like, that might be enough. So I'm interested in Rashee Rice.
I wish this game was above 50, because it would be much easier to come in underweight, to look at this game and go, okay, well, but the field is going to respond to the total coming down and how cost prohibitive. Like, it's one thing to say, oh, well, you just stack Mahomes and Kelsey and you bring it back with some of the other side. Like, you're rostering three players from this game that are all over 8K, and you're not going to be able to get up to Kupp or anybody else on the slate. So, yeah, it's just not easy. Like, with Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen right there, like, you're dealing with over 16K of salary. If you threw in Eckler instead, they're the same price. Like, you can't do that. Eckler and Allen also historically have had super negative correlation. So I don't want to play those two together. So it's like I'm running out of areas to go, and Pacheco seems like the best route to get value in this game, but he's going to be super popular too. So I feel like I'm running into more routes for this game to not be as helpful as people want it to be. But there's still players that carry a awesome ceiling. With Mahomes and Kelsey, you need 60 points. And that's a tall task. Mahomes has not given you that this year at all. But the matchup says he can. So if you get 60 points from Mahomes, Kelsey, and then you find somebody else in this game to get you, I don't know, 15 to 20, that's cheaper, like a Palmer, that's fine. You also could play the defense. So it's like, I don't know. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, I think I share your concerns and thoughts, just like it's price prohibitive, so think about that. So my lean is just to kind of do some like mini correlations here, like, you know, you play Pacheco and Keenan Allen, or like Rashee Rice and Eckler, or you know, whatever you want to do. Like, I don't think I'm going to get into these kind of double stack situations with the bring back, just because, like you said, it is so expensive.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I don't love playing Keenan Allen in these spots. But it's also like a selfish thing because I have my home leagues. $8,600 is so expensive.
Right? Yeah, we're used to paying like low sevens, right, for Keenan, just kind of over the years. So like he deserves it because he's been great. But it's like, man, like I said, Diggs is right up there. He's been just incredible. It's not that much more to try to find the money to get up to Cooper Kupp, like I said. So like it's going to be tough for me to find my way there.
All right, give me your Vegas take.
I'm going to take the Chiefs. I think they win this one by at least 6 points.
I would take the Chiefs too. I feel strong enough to say, you know, I would be fine with the money line. Like, this just feels like a game that they're going to destroy at home. So next game, Arizona Cardinals at Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are 7.5-point home favorites. The over-under is at 44.5. Don't love that. But there's so much to like in this game, especially on the Seahawks side, because the Cardinals defense is boo-boo. It's just not good at all. Last week, I was all about the Seattle because Ken Walker had an early touchdown. He was my slate breaker. And I'm like, man, I'm Billy Madison, the smartest man alive. Like, that's how I felt. But then they just fell flat in the second half. So that was kind of frustrating. But the running game is super efficient, and Arizona stinks at stopping the run. Like you saw last week, Kyren Williams just said, I'm going to be the dude in the second half. So Kenneth Walker is really hard to poke holes in. He seems like a pretty good bet to get a touchdown, but I also like I like Geno double stacks too. So do you have a preferred route that you want to go this week?
Yeah, I think Ken Walker is pretty good chalk. Honestly, it's like, how can you poke holes, right? We already mentioned the workloads there, the matchups there, their home favorites by a touchdown. And I looked up his splits in Seattle wins since he's out of the NFL. He's averaging almost 19 carries a game, 87 rushing yards, and a rushing score.
Nice.
It's just a great spot. So, like, I think he's fine. And obviously, if I'm playing him in tournaments, I want that ceiling. So, I'm probably not going to play a Metcalf with it or a Lockett with it sort of thing. Like, I'd kind of just pick him and move on. But, yeah, man, we talked about Geno a little bit already. I'm interested in double stacks. I like Lockett. I think the field is going to like Lockett, too. So, that's a little tricky. But the matchup's there. It's great. And we finally saw him come out and have his best game of the year last week. The tricky thing is, do you double stack? And if you do, is DK Metcalf 100% healthy? I don't know, man. Like, I kind of get weird vibes with Metcalf. He was really upset last week, had a hip injury, was questionable to come back in, ended up returning, but like also has been on the injury report with a rib issue off and on. So like, I don't know, man. I don't know where I'm at with DK. And then with JSN, it's exciting because we finally saw the usage increase in terms of his snaps, routes run, and his ADOT, Kyle.
Yes.
So like, that's what we want to see. So I think it's one of those things that we talk about sometimes. It's like you just play it before you really see it sort of situation. And he's cheap enough that I think it can work. So I think my preferred route is Geno, Lockett, and JSN.
I am all for that because JSN's going to come in at, what, 3-4%? You know, it's just nobody's going to play him. Lockett is going to carry a lot more roster percentage than Metcalf, maybe double, triple it. So I think Lockett is just so good at his price. His splits against Arizona since 2020, he's averaging 7.4 targets, 69 receiving yards, and half a touchdown. So I think he's a really solid play at his price. Play him in cash, play him in tournaments. But then it's the other problem of this game too, I feel like I'm always pointing out problems, but it's like Eugenio double stack, or you play Ken Walker. Other than Hollywood Brown, there's no way I'm playing anyone else.
Yeah, I don't think you can go there on any of the running backs. It's a brutal matchup against the Seattle rush defense, so like I don't want to go there. Hollywood's great. We already talked about him. Michael Wilson, you can throw a dart, but like there's not really anything you can say that's super encouraging about it. And in these spots where we project a team to lose, especially on DraftKings, I'm trying to find guys that can just rack up PPR points in a negative game script. And that's where I think Hollywood Brown comes in. So it is tricky if you do go full game stack. Just realize it's probably going to be a very popular combination. So in the other spots of your lineup, if you play that, which I think is fine to do, just be willing to get different elsewhere.
Walker and Brown. I'm looking at our roster percentage projections right now. Just those two. If you were to just say, I'm going to correlate those two. I'm not playing Geno. I'll stack somewhere else. And relatively speaking, Brown and Walker, not that expensive. Like in terms of like what they're going to be over 50%. That's 50% of your roster percentage right there. I can guarantee Hollywood and Ken Walker together. So it's like, we like to stay in the range of GPPs around 125% or less. I think that will start to get a little bit tougher, but we both said like, these are players we like, and I think it's good chalk, and that's okay. It's good. It's okay that they're popular. Any other thoughts on this game?
Are you interested in Trey McBride at all? He's what, 2,600, I think?
I hate playing tight ends that still are probably sharing time with a quarterback who I think should not be in the league. But I get the price. I brought him up on Tuesday as cash viable at 2,600. So he's somebody that's fine because the way that he got there last week is the end of the game and just a bunch of garbage, you know, dump off. So we like the Cardinals because they're bad at defense, really bad, dead last in success rate, and their games are top 10 in combined points. So when we factor that in together, there is a possibility for Trey McBride to PPR his way, but not when I compare to the other tight ends on the slate. Like I mentioned, Kelsey, Andrews, I do not want to be killed by them this week. So,
yeah, that's fair. I think it's tricky because, like you said, and there's other good punt plays too. So I'm going to play around with it and see kind of how I feel and what I think about his usage. The thing is that Zach Ertz is not going away. Like, it's kind of a tight end committee. So I think he's a little thin for cash, but like if you're playing a Geno stack and you want a different bring back, I think it's okay, especially in like a smaller field stuff.
All right. My Vegas take is I think Seattle blows the doors off and puts up 30 plus points.
Yeah. I was going to say, I like Seattle to lay the touchdown here at home.
All right. Last game we're going to talk about is the Green Bay Packers at the Denver Broncos. Brett Favre, John Elway. Feels like we're back in the 90s. Very 90s teams, right? Like
classics.
Yeah, classics. Like, you know, we're talking like 95, 96, 97, 98. Like those are the teams. But we do not have those quarterbacks. We have Jordan Love and Russell Wilson, who are two of the most volatile quarterbacks in the league. One play, Jordan Love can look like this guy can be an all-pro. And the next play, it's like, why is he their quarterback? Why did they spend the time and the resources? Somebody, you know, I just want somebody fired. Somebody from the Packers fired for their job. But here we are. So the Packers are coming off the bye. The line right now is Packers minus one. The over-under is 45. So close game. It's basically a pick 'em. The Broncos defense is what's driving some of this game. Like I was looking at my game pace scores like, oh, it makes sense. They're like the worst defense of all time. They're allowing the highest completion rate of any team to start a season in the modern Super Bowl era. So they're bad. I do have to temper some of those stats because they were skewed by a 70-point game. But I'm interested in this game because there's value everywhere. You can stack these quarterbacks and have a bring back and then pay for all the studs in the other game. So it's like you are getting a ton of value. And when you start adding up the points, it's like, okay, if you got 20 points from Love or Russ, you'd be super happy with that. 20, little over that. Then you find their wide receivers, Christian Watson Is it Courtland Sutton? If you find that wide receiver that gets 18 to 20 points, you're super happy. And then if you find the running back, Aaron Jones, Javonte Williams, it can work too. So there's just enough value that I like this game if it's one of the cheaper stacks this week.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Like you said, think about things relative to cost. Both guys, as far as the quarterbacks, are cheap. Their stacking options are cheap. So I'm kind of with you in that aspect. And I like what you said at the start of this game preview about just the volatility of these quarterbacks, right? Like you said, Jordan Love, man, he's had times where he just looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. And then before you know it, you go to get a drink or a snack and you come back and he has 15 fantasy points. And you're like, what just happened, right? So like, I think this is a good game to embrace for that reason with those two guys. And the Packers specifically, like the health is trending in the right direction. You get Christian Watson, another week removed from the injury, coming out of the bye week. We talked about how cheap he is. Man, Lockett sitting right there at 6K. Hollywood at 5.3. He is going to get lost in the shuffle this week on DraftKings where he is priced. So I like that call that you mentioned earlier quite a bit. And then where are you at with Aaron Jones? Because he feels like a guy that can easily pay off his tag, right? 6.8. This offense needs him. The matchup is beautiful. But do you think we get the full workload where he's just unleashed this week?
The thing about Aaron Jones is you've never really had to like bank on volume. He's always just been more efficiency. And so it's really just saying, like, is the Broncos defense as bad as we think? Probably not. But they are giving up 5.6 yards per carry and 172 rushing yards per game. So Aaron Jones can get there this week at 6,800 if he scores, catches three passes, and ends up over 100 total yards. Like, I think that's totally possible on a slate that we're, like, I bet a top five running back, like RB5 this week on DK could just end up with like 20 points. Like, not nothing too crazy, like 18 to 20 points. So I think that's possible, and I like him a lot there. I think I just like Christian Watson more.
That's fair. Yeah, I think that's a good take too. I also want to let everyone know, I put an article to an ESPN article about his hamstring injury. It sounds like he had that setback on the Saturday before the Monday night game that he was out 2 weeks ago. They gave him the bye week, kind of gave him some time to recover. He said he's feeling good in practice, so it's always tough to know with those guys first game off the injury, but I think because of those things, you will get a massive discount in his roster percentage, so I don't think he's the craziest tournament play in the world as far as Aaron Jones goes.
The worst part about Russ is, we talked about the stat before, but he leads all quarterbacks in fantasy points per drop back against zone coverage. And the Packers play zone coverage 80% of the time. Who are you stacking with? Because Judy, I hate Courtland Sutton. I do love Marvin Mims.
Who is he going to run more than 8 routes this week?
This is a big, I'm going to break some news here. Sean Payton still has yet to find out that 11 personnel exists. So no, probably not.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing, right? It's like, how can you even think about clicking the button on Jerry Jeudy after what we just saw and Steve Smith, had
body
his moments.
Him.
Oh man, he just buried him. And I was like, man, maybe that's motivation Jerry Jeudy needs to come out and have a good game. Nope, he has looked terrible. And how many years are we going to do this with Jerry Jeudy, right? It's like, this is the breakout year. He was a 4th round pick in best. Like, I don't like think he's that good, truthfully. So
what? He was a fun college player, man.
I don't think this team likes him. Like, I think he's gone. Trade deadline's coming up. So I'm not playing Jerry Jeudy. As someone who has said this before, and this means he will certainly go off if he beats me, he beats me. So listeners, you should play him. I will not be. But I think Sutton's fine. At 5.2, he's cheap enough that it can work if you are playing Russ. Mims, man, I keep losing money every week. I keep playing him in tournaments hoping it's going to happen. So I don't know if I can go there again. I think I need to finally see him on the field actually playing before I keep clicking the button.
3,600. I don't mind it as a dart throw. The best part about these games is all those wide receivers you just mentioned, Judy, Sutton, Mims, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, whoever, people aren't going to play them that much. Like, they're going to be like, 6%, 5%, 3%. Like, nobody's going overboard on those guys. So I think that's why I like this game so much. It's the value game of the week presented by Wendy's, because nobody does a value menu like Wendy's.
The biggie bag.
Man, what a great read I just gave. If they would have given me that, gosh, man. Need that in my life.
They're second on our favorite sponsor list behind Chili's.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, love the value. Anybody else in this game?
Do you have any interest in the running backs? It was sort of a weird three-way committee last week, but really Samaje Perine kind of got boxed out a little bit. So any interest in Javonte or Jaleel McLaughlin?
I love Javonte as a player, but I worry if they're just going to ever unleash him. And then you ask yourself, like, how many touches is Javonte going to get? 15? Maybe?
I mean, yeah. You, most weeks before the injury, it was like he'd have like 12 carries and like two or three targets.
That's just not enough. Like, so he's had, you know, stretches where it was like three targets. I just see running backs with higher ceilings. So I don't know if I like him as much. I want to play him. I played him before, but it's probably not going to be in my pool of players, to be honest.
All right, that's fair.
I will take the Broncos at home, as stupid as that sounds.
That is terrifying. I'm going to take the under.
I don't blame you at all. So last little thought here is our slate breaker of the week. And let's just roll with it. Wendy's, you know, the late sponsor in this podcast.
Sponsored by the Wendy's Superbar, Kyle, which in the 90s was just absolute money.
I will say, I have very good memories as a kid coming home from baseball practice. My dad would always pick me up from my baseball practice and we'd be on the way home and there was a Wendy's on the way home. And so, yeah, I'd get that Wendy's.
Of course there was.
That Wendy's baked potato when I'm a kid. That was a good feeling. So
you got the baked potato as a kid?
And a JBC.
Oh my gosh, dude. I thought I knew you.
I was going bulk season for baseball, man. I mean, I could play shortstop, but I wasn't as bulky as I needed to be.
I was trying to hit dingers.
Well, the problem was, is I usually hit in the two hole before the two hole became a cool thing, like in the 2000s. Now it's like your best player hits in the two hole. I wasn't always our best player. I mean, I made all-stars and played travel ball, but I never, you know, I wasn't hitting dingers.
Don't brag about it. Jeez.
I did want to drop that real quick. all right. Slate Breaker presented by Wendy's. Bets, hit me.
All right. Look, man. It's time. Davante Adams has been very quiet in the box score. The news around Davante Adams has not been quiet. This is the ultimate squeaky wheel game incoming for Davante Adams. And it's not just because of what he said, which I agree with a lot of what he was saying, which was not this diva mentality of like, I need the ball. It's just, hey, if our offense is going to be good, I should probably be involved. Kind of to sum it up, right? It's like, that's where I'm taking it. And this week, he gets the Bears. Second most touchdowns allowed to wide receivers. They're 31st on defense and EPA per dropback. I know the concern is there with Aiden O'Connell. I know there is some concern with Brian Hoyer. But look, man, in that Aiden O'Connell game, Davante Adams was in and out of the lineup with a shoulder injury. He still had almost two touchdowns, and he had, I think it was seven catches for like 75 yards. He could get peppered in this game, and I certainly want to be there when it happens. So on FanDuel, he is 8K. He is cheaper than he is on DraftKings, which is just incredible. I definitely want some Davante Adams this week.
I am doubling down this week because my slate breakers are Lamar Jackson / Mark Andrews. I'm down
stack
to play that stack this week in tournaments. I don't think that they're going to be unpopular by any means, so you're not getting sneaky here. But Lamar truly hasn't had a massive breakout game. Like, other than, you know, look at week four, like he had a two touchdown game, ran some in. Like, Lamar's completing 70% of his passes. This might be his best season as a passer. They've dealt with drops. And the matchup says that they're going to have to throw the ball. Detroit is number one in the league. Fewest rushing yards allowed. The spot that they struggle against wide receivers and against tight end over the last 6 weeks. That's what we played so far. 29th against tight ends. So I will be playing that stack, bring it back on the other side with Amon-Ra if you need to, or somebody else. But I'm interested in paying up with Mark Andrews while other people try to fart around with their stinky tight ends. Give me Mark Andrews, who's way too cheap, right? Like, if this was a different game environment, like let's say this game was at, I don't know, 46 or 47. I feel like you'd be all in on Mark Andrews.
Yeah, but you've left him. I think he could get lost in the shuffle a little bit this week. And he's kind of been at this price for a few weeks in a row, and it's like, he hasn't really done that much. So those are the times that it makes sense to go back. I'm with you. And I was kind of laughing when you were talking because I'm picturing you on Sunday just sitting there eating your baked potato from Wendy's, your JBC, and Andrew's just going off, touchdown after touchdown. Just you're happy as can be on the couch. So for you, I hope it happens.
You know what? Based on how this weekend's going, my family, me and my two boys, we might end up at Wendy's. Good call. this is great. I'm glad our sponsors are providing for us. All right, one more segment.
Prop it like it's hot.
All right, if you want all of our props, you can get them in the DFS Pass, dfspass.com. We get to alert everybody. And in our Discord, I love getting to share these things. But a lot of times, you know, people will be like, I don't want to go for that prop. That's cool. It's up to you. You are the one that get to spend your money as a grown-up on these and do what you do. And sometimes they hit. Sometimes they don't. But we are up on the season. We're feeling good. And I just want to throw out one first and foremost that, man, there is nothing better than taking an over on Marquez Valdes-Scantling's receiving yards line and then looking up a couple hours later and...
moving the lines.
I mean, a real G I am.
You're an absolutely sick individual, Kyle. I just have to tell you that.
I message bets. It might have been the first thing you saw in the morning. Was it really?
Yep.
I message bets, and the first thing he says is like, hey, man, I really like this MVS over. He's like, why are you doing that to me? Like, why are you trying to ruin my life? So MVS's line was at 12.5. It's now at 13.5. It'll probably be at 14.5 by the time you see it. But Justin Watson's not playing. MVS is a cardio king, most routes on the team. And he's hit this total in 70% of his Patrick Mahomes game. So I like that one a lot. I also will throw out Tyler Algier over 36.5 rushing yards. The last 2 weeks, he's kind of been the dude that they've used to either milk the clock, grind the tough yards in the five zone. He's passed his total the last 2 weeks. And he's getting, you know, 14 rush attempts per game. So it's like, it's really ask yourself the question, like if he hits double digits in carries, which I think we would say is a good safe bet, you know, 10-ish, 11 rushing attempts, then 36.5 seems like a total. So a Falcons over and an MVS over. What could go wrong?
Dude, you've been pretty hot with the Falcons over, so I do have to listen when you at least say that. But yeah, the MVS one, man, I cannot wait. I'm super excited to watch him have one catch for 11 yards, but at least we can tell ourselves, our spouses, our friends that we got closing line value. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah,
that's all
yeah.
that matters. I'm going to go with a more fun prop. Okay, Kyle? Give me Puka Nacua over 59.5 receiving yards. We've already talked about this game being like the running back situation just should lead to so many dropbacks for Stafford, so many pass attempts. They're already top 10 in pass rate over expectation as is before the running back injuries happened. So I think he's going to be chucking. We're getting a very big discount on this mark. Yes, of course, the season when he was crushing was at Cooper Kupp. But what do you know? Cooper Kupp comes back in his first game, 71 receiving yards. Last week, down game, 26 yards on 7 targets. But that's not a reflection of him. That's a reflection of what the offense did with running the ball with Kyron Williams so much in the second half against Arizona. So give me over 59.5 receiving yards for Puka Nacua.
Sound like such squares giving 3 overs.
But you know what? I was thinking about that, actually. We've had a lot of success with unders historically, but there is a point in the season, and this happened last year, where books, I think, overcorrected some props and markets, and we started taking more overs, and we had a really nice end of the season. So it could be over season, man. We're here.
Yeah, I mean, your Patreon that everybody can subscribe to is just overs only, right? You just send them in?
That's actually what it's called.
Just overs with bets? Bets and over?
Overs only.
People just, I need to actually say this out loud. We're kidding. But because I know you will get a message from somebody that says, Betts, where is your Patreon? Do you get those when I throw that out?
Yes. Every time. It's the worst. Man.
I know. Especially I love the one where I mentioned NHL picks and someone's like, oh, Betts, I'm in NHL. Give me all your picks. I'm like, hey, Kyle's just trolling me.
You're the worst.
I know. Go to ballersdfs.com if you want to play with us. It will direct you to our DraftKings League, Fantasy Ballers DFS, Borg Plus Bets. Bets, I saw you just open up some contests, and I saw someone say, finally, I got in. We keep opening them up, including a huge 600-person contest that's live right now if you want to jump in. So go to ballersdfs.com if you want to get in on it. And the last thing I'll say is, I mentioned at the top of the show, but we are giving a stupid, stupid deal, 33% off for the DFS pass if you want to check it out. What I always tell people is rare that you can buy something that you can make your money back in one weekend. Okay. And we think that if you play the right way, you look at our picks in the best plays, you can win that in cash. And then in tournaments, you could go bananas as well. So ballersdfs.com and dfspass.com. Man, got a lot of domains. Tell everybody bye.
So many. But listen, man, you get that savings in the DFS Pass. You know what you do? Use the money you save. Drop by Wendy's, grab a little JBC, a little baked potato, enjoy some football on the couch on Sunday. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the slates. Best of luck to all of you out there. We're back next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at thefantasyfootballers.com.